Well, that's another thing too, is that like if I look at my at home movies of like my family growing up, like my mom, is that a lot of them circle around Christmas. I think memories and Christmas kind of go hand in hand in some way. It's like it's easy to.
Well, yeah, because the rest of the year sucks. We have to work and like, we have to do stuff.
Hi, and welcome to the episode of CineNation. I am Brandon Sparks.
And I'm Ben Gertz.
I'm Thomas Horton.
And we're back after a year-long hiatus. Here at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. Actually, here at the Greek Theater and what's the place in Atlanta? Like, just give me a stadium or a theater. Oh, Fox Theater in Atlanta.
Fox Theater.
Yeah,
we could sell out Mercedes-Benz. We could sell out.
We could. I think we could. I think we could. I think
with
we
a topic
have a,
this good.
With, yeah.
The biggest live podcast recording ever.
Everybody loves Christmas. Well,
everybody
mostly everybody.
Yeah.
Like
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I'm
sure you paused all your Christmas celebrations because there was a new CineNation episode.
Yeah, and you're like, what happened here? Like, you're probably thinking there's a glitch in your podcast app or wherever you're viewing.
This is prime podcasting time. Let's be clear. Family, travel.
You're driving.
Yeah. Driving, flying. We are the perfect. This is the perfect release strategy, guys. We're going to do one every Christmas. And we're set.
Listening to the smooth sounds of CineNation on your travels home during the holidays.
Oh, man, I should have brought some sleigh bells.
So, yeah, we're talking about Christmas movies. And right now, I'm in L.A., Ben's in Portland, and the big change is that Thomas is in Atlanta right now.
Yeah.
He made the move this summer. And so now it's getting cross-country, guys. It's getting even bigger.
It's good.
I'm the only LA survivor left right here in this group. It's great. So we're talking about Christmas movies today, and Christmas movies, and I don't know if we can do TV. Like, just there's TV episodes, not really anything. There's no seasons of Christmas movie or Christmas shows. that'd be really
Lifetime,
weird.
Lifetime
actually.
Will start doing
Lifetime,
that soon.
Chris, they're like, that's a great idea. Christmas shows year round.
Yeah. Just to jump into, like, I know we'll talk about Lifetime plenty, but they do, like, July, the entire month, they show Christmas movies because it's Christmas in July.
Yeah. So the topic that kind of spurred from this is the conversation Thomas and I were having about with Hallmark and Lifetime and now Netflix and kind of other streaming services is that they're doubling down on making Christmas movies because people love watching Christmas movies when they're wrapping, and not even like great Christmas movies, just
anything, whatever's
movies
on.
That evoke Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever's on. It's just like you gotta wrap some presents, put up the Christmas tree, like getting ready for the holiday spirit. Maybe you're cooking dinner. I know Thomas, you were saying you were watching some last night while you were like just cooking for the evening.
The 12 Men of Christmas starring Kristen Chenoweth on Lifetime.
Did you finish the whole thing, or was
no,
it just
I
like...
watched like 15 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Also, I watched the last like 10 minutes of whatever was showing before it. I don't know what the title was, but Tim Matheson was playing the villain.
Oh, man.
That's what I said when he popped up.
I mean, you gotta.
What was his villainous plot in this Christmas movie? He's like gonna burn the town tree down.
Is he a businessman?
He was a businessman.
That's like trying
he
to...
was exclusively.
I knew it.
I'm pretty sure he shot the whole thing in one day because he was exclusively in a boardroom for every scene that I saw him in. And he had a picture at one point. I really wasn't hearing any of the dialogue or anything. I was just looking up every once in a while. And at one point, he opened up his like businessman folder, and on top of all his paperwork, he had a photo of him as a boy in the snow with a sled. And we all know what a businessman
like,
with a sled means.
Wow. He's Charles Foster Kane. Oh, man. So he just,
And then
Which,
Santa
by the
came.
Way, Citizen Kane actually has Christmas scenes in that movie.
Yeah, sure.
Just so you know. So it's a throwback to that. But yeah, we were talking about that and just how everyone's doubling down, how they're making a lot of them, because Ben asked about this earlier, was about like how much they cost. They're not that expensive. Like that's why they do them is they probably get,
I mean,
like
we would hope they're not.
Yeah. I mean, they probably get a, most of the time a decent name, like that can draw in a crowd. Like there's a reason why you see Candace Cameron Bure in a lot of Christmas films for like, I think, is it Lifetime or Hallmark? I don't know. It was said in one of the articles.
I think Hallmark. I think she does a lot of Hallmark.
Yeah.
Are those channels owned by the same company? Like, are they actually in a bloodbath to like rule the Christmas waves or like?
Yeah, because Lifetime is like Viacom or something. Lifetime's one of the big companies.
And then Hallmark is the usurper, the underdog.
Yeah, so they are kind of different. I feel it's because Hallmark is a little more. I mean, Lifetime's not family friendly, but Hallmark is for like grandmothers, and Lifetime.
Yeah,
Lifetime is for a little bit. A little bit younger than that.
Okay, yeah, so it's just different demos.
So Lifetime is the Hearst Corporation, back to Citizen Kane, Hearst Corporation, and Walt Disney Company.
Ooh.
And Hallmark is, it's Crown Media Holdings, but the interesting part is that Hallmark, before it became the Hallmark Channel, was the American Christian Television System.
Yeah, they still do some faith-based programming.
Wow.
Yeah, that's probably why you're saying it's more for grandmothers.
That Venn diagram is probably pretty overlapping there.
So yeah, and then Netflix is just coming in and making Christmas movies like them, but just putting money behind it. So yeah, because I know with the Lifetime and Hallmark stuff, it's like Thomas has said before we recorded, was that how a lot of them are like dealing with like the home and like going to a small town. What was this, the plot for everything you were saying?
Yeah, like, I mean, the plot for 12 Men of Christmas was like Kristen Chenoweth was like going back to her hometown where she had like inherited something. You inherit your parents' house or like something, and you go back and you meet a sexy small town dude. And you learn about Christmas, and that's a Lifetime movie for you right there. Or you go out in the middle of nowhere where they can show a couple of B-roll shots of a castle, and then but you mostly shoot in like the woods and stuff, and you say it's some Eastern European village, and then you meet a sexy small town prince.
Village or prince. Well, so because that's the thing with Christmas Prince, because I watched a little bit of it just to prep for this episode, guys. It's like he's like a playboy, like, what's a real life comparison?
Yeah, I mean, they said kind of womanizer in the description, right? I mean, like his reputation is this
like,
sort of
like Prince Harry.
It's like Prince Harry when he was in Vegas, like going to parties, that type of stuff.
Pre Meghan Markle, Prince Harry.
Like before his life changed, he learned the true meaning of Christmas with her. Is what I feel like.
Yeah,
guys. Yep, like,
for sure. Meghan Markle definitely knows the true meaning of Christmas.
Wasn't that a Lifetime movie? Wasn't like
I didn't see that one.
Like,
I saw we watched the trailer for the one. I don't think that one was Christmas themed though, right?
Where it wasn't Christmas themed. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like they made I think it's Lifetime of how they got together.
Oh yeah, they always do those. The unauthorized.
This is like a reenactment of their dating, basically.
Yeah.
And they churn them out like as soon as they get engaged. It's like, all right, we're dropping this movie next week. And it's like, how did you get that movie together so fast?
Harry and Meghan, a royal romance. Yeah.
And are these sort of quasi accurate, or is this just like a fantasy version of what people think might have happened?
It's whoever they can get to like sell, like Meghan's.
Sell their. Yeah,
ex-roommate, whoever they can get to like sell their story, and then they just build it off of that.
Wow,
because I know Lifetime did the like behind the scenes Saved by the Bell movie, and it was based on Dustin Diamond's memoirs, and everybody else involved was like, this is all fake.
They had a Full House one as well. Like they were in a big trend of unauthorized like biographies of these like hit stars and what they were like behind camera. Anyway, let's stop talking about those movies. Let's talk about Christmas, because Dustin Diamond's
back
just
to
bringing
Christmas.
Me down, guys.
Back to Christmas.
Dustin Diamond's bringing me down. I was prepping for like a week or so for this episode.
Awesome.
And watching Christmas movies, listening to Christmas music. It's been great. I'm in a cheerful mood. you get some bells there?
Christmas bells? Is that Christmas? I think I hear
Santa?
Christmas coming.
I hear Christmas coming.
Yay, let's talk about Christmas.
So
let's put some free access Christmas music up in here. Royalty free, public domain, something.
I mean, that's what's in Christmas Prince, by the way, it feels like.
Yeah.
Beginning of Christmas Prince, it starts off with definitely a ripoff of Jingle Bell Rock.
Well, there's like also, actually, I mean, there's also something to be said about there are a lot of royalty-free Christmas songs you can, you can throw in somewhere. That's something you can say for the genre is get all your music for free.
And it's just, again, it's like those movies. It's just creating this feeling for you that reminds you of Christmas and nostalgia. And it just makes you feel like warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it is.
So in reading over some of the stuff, though, I mean, are we able to say, like, you know, is this mainly used as just like a setting and then all of the stories fall into the genre expectations? Or is it just that you could take the setting away and you'd still have a crappy romance movie? No offense to romance movies. But I mean, there actually is like specifics to a Christmas romance movie,
I think
I mean,
so.
It's like,
So when going over this, I was looking, like, because there's difference between a movie that's set at Christmas and the genre of Christmas. And so, like, to me, the genre of Christmas, you have to, the main character or a major character in the film has to learn something, has to make a conscious decision to change. And it kind of all comes from the prototype was A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Was, as anyone knows, it's like he's a guy, Ebenezer Scrooge is a guy who is cheap and terrible to the world. And then by the end of it, he is a happy old man who loves everyone and gives his money away, basically. Like, and he's learned the true meaning of Christmas. And that's kind of the rule I see it as. And so at the beginning, even with the romance stories, you kind of had that where it was two kind of characters that were very different from one another and somehow were brought together because of Christmas. In the 1940s, there was one movie that was called Remember the Night, and it was like Fred McMurray is an attorney and Barbara Stanwyck is this like shoplifter is what it is. And she's arrested and McMurray's the one like prosecuting her. Are you still doing bells?
I thought it was closed out. Why is this... I just tried to pick up my phone and it's like the app was completely
still
closed
on.
All right.
It's more of a horror theme now.
So yeah, and so it's like in that time they're forced to be together over Christmas because he's trying to be nice and not let her go to jail for Christmas. And so he decides like take out her bond and take care of her and then bring her back to like put her in jail, which is kind of a weird story that can't be done nowadays. But yeah, or even the one I watched last night that I loved was a movie called I'll Be Seeing You. And it was 1944, and it was Joseph Cotten and Ginger Rogers. And I'll come back to why I'm talking about these movies. But with that one is Cotten is it's during World War II. He's a soldier who's been sent home because he's actually suffering from PTSD. And they kind of talk about it as like shell shock and he's like not mentally right. And he's being sent home, but he has no home because he's an orphan. And on the train, he meets Ginger Rogers, who you find out a little bit into the movie. She's been sent home because she's on furlough from prison because she was put in jail for, like, manslaughter because she killed her boss who was, like, trying to... Basically, it was like sexual assault. This is like really kind of dark stuff for 1944 that I'm surprised they're showing. But like it was she, like, he brings her up to his hotel room and tries to take advantage of her and they're fighting and he falls out the window and she's put in jail for this. And so the whole conflict of the movie is Joseph Cotten doesn't really want to tell her that he has like PTSD and she doesn't want him to find out she's been in prison and is about to go back for killing a guy. And so that's the conflict the entire time.
Wow.
And so the whole kind of change is like, can they accept each other for who they are and what they're going through? Lifetime doesn't have that stuff, guys. I'm just going to be real.
Yeah, that's a really interesting like premise of like, there's a lot of weight there as opposed to...
It really is.
You know, an overworked business executive.
Something that we had talked about and that you just brought up in describing those and kind of talking about looking at Christmas movies from the 40s was... A lot of those from that era, it's almost a very specific, like, World War II Christmas genre. I mean, you've got, because I guess because Christmas deals with the theme of like coming home, and people were just starting to come home from World War II. But like, you've got, you know, Barbara Stanwyck, Christmas in Connecticut, where she's playing this famous like Martha Stewart character who's hosting a decorated veteran who's coming to do Christmas at her house. That's like a prize he won for being such a decorated veteran, as he gets to go do Christmas at this like celebrity's house. And then obviously you've got It's a Wonderful Life, you know, dealing with a lot of that stuff, his brother being the veteran and him not being able to go off when he wanted to. And even White Christmas, I mean, the two of them being veterans together.
And that was kind of, I always saw it as when the war started happening, not just in America, but in Europe, that's when the kind of rise of Christmas, the Christmas genre became a big thing. Because before that, it was just, they were set at Christmas. And, or it was like an adaptation of A Christmas Carol. That was kind of it. And then it started happening where the war kind of changed it. And it felt like they were trying to showcase, the movies were trying to showcase the goodness in people, or just like trying to like kind of, it's escapism is what it was, from the darkness of the world where everyone's at war. And there was even another one called It Happened on Fifth Avenue, where it's a homeless guy. This is after the war. He's a veteran and he's homeless. And so every year he sneaks into this mansion on Fifth Avenue in New York, because they're often like Florida, like enjoying Christmas when it's not cold. And so him and a bunch of other homeless guys sneak into the mansion and spend Christmas there is what it is. And what happens is I think the daughter comes back and runs into him, and it kind of becomes a love story between them two, but also like it's like, I think it was 47. So it's like a post-war and how veterans are treated during this time. Mm-hmm. So the war was a very big deal to this genre. And I think I said it too, because I kind of compare it to the film noir genre, because the film noir genre at the time was kind of the darkness and cynical nature of the world, when Christmas was the optimistic version of the world. And sometimes in like certain noir films, they actually would use Christmas as a way to kind of make the story more interesting. And that's kind of even carried over into present day with like Shane Black's movies, where a lot of his movies are crime and neo-noir films, and Christmas becomes a big thing. And a lot of times going to the Christmas Carol thing is because Christmas Carol and Christmas stories can usually be about redemption and finding yourself, or again, that true meaning of Christmas rule. And so that's why it's easy to kind of carry over from both, say, the Christmas genre and like maybe even the noir crime genre.
Yeah, it's
is why it can be used.
I mean, a lot of the noir films, like the post-war noir films, have to do with coming back from the war. You know, a lot of the detectives are veterans, and it's like, oh, I thought life was going to be so much easier after the war, but America is a war zone too. You know, we've got gangs and this stuff. And so, and you know, we were just talking about Christmas movies were dealing with the same thing, just in a positive way. Oh, I'm coming back from the war, and I have my family and I have people I love. Yeah, but then if you look at Shane Black, like Lethal Weapon, that kind of combines the two. It's Christmas, but it's also dealing with these soldiers who've come back from Vietnam and are now involved in like drug trade. And yeah, it's kind of a pretty good juxtaposition of both genres.
Yeah. And so it's like they're adult Christmas movies in a way, but even back in the 40s, they were still, they were family stuff, but there was still that level of reality that was throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more about nostalgia, and they just take the home aspect of it and just take that, and that's the whole movie, kind of.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah, because I think, you know, every year when I do go back and watch the Christmas classics, I always kind of think in my head, when I've been away from them for a year, and I'm like, they're going to be so schmaltzy. Like, you see all these kind of Lifetime movies, and then you go back and watch something like It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 31st Street, and, I mean, they are Christmas movies, and they are sentimental, but they deal with some dark stuff, and I think they're very well grounded in the performances, in the way that they're shot, and you know, just there are Christmas, and they leave you going, oh yay, happy, good family Christmas, love, all that kind of stuff. But
you know. But after they've earned it, that's the key, right? It's like a lot of these new movies, you don't feel like they earn the schmaltz.
Every year, when I try and watch It's a Wonderful Life every year, I love that movie. But the moment he's up on that bridge and he's about to kill himself so his family can have his life insurance policy, like that's a real moment.
Right.
And that was even there was Meet John Doe, which is also Frank Capra. Similar thing is that it kind of ends with him. The whole movie about John Doe is that the newspapers, I think it was these newspapers, created a like philosophy as like a character, and they use Gary Cooper as a guy to kind of push this philosophy along. And they begin to use that philosophy to elect the politicians they want to elect. Cooper becomes this big kind of persona in the culture. And then once he finds out what's going on, he's trying to change it. And they start to take it, or they basically kind of throw him under the bus and call him a fraud when they created him. And his whole idea at the end is like, he's thinking about committing suicide to show people like what's been going on or whatever. And I think it's Barbara Stanwyck's in that, and she's kind of telling him, because on Christmas Eve, I think, and she's kind of comparing him to Jesus the entire time of like, we've already lost one person who's like tried to make a difference, let's not lose you or whatever. So it's like those Capra movies like that and It's a Wonderful Life are these very dark looks into the American kind of psyche at that time. Mm-hmm. It feels like.
So let's talk for a couple minutes. We hit on just the idea of people having these movies on, but why this change from these more, films of substance to just kind of Christmas movies now?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is something now with Lifetime and Hallmark and Netflix. Like we said, it's just something you put on for the sake of it being Christmas themed, just like you put Christmas music on in a department store, you know, starting November 1st these days. And it's interesting, because I mean, when my tradition growing up with my family was the day after Thanksgiving we were allowed to listen to Christmas music, and like it would not be played in our house a day before that. And I mean, I feel like people were already showing Christmas movies on TV on November 1st. And playing Christmas music on the radio. So it's, I think as the Christmas season expands, you just got to have more movies to watch,
Basically the summer blockbuster window, but the Christmas blockbuster window, more or less.
Well, I mean, I think it's very similar actually, because I mean, a lot of people talk about how like the movies nowadays that studios releasing aren't of substance, when back in the day it was like, you could have a movie that would be considered an indie now be released by a major studio 25 years ago. And I think it's now more of just about the escapism of it all, is that with Christmas movies, it's not really about that. We don't want to get dark and make you kind of depressed. Cause like It's a Wonderful Life, when you break it down, is a dark, depressing film. Like when it gets to the end,
that's why it resonates with me so well.
I like my Christmas movies dark, like my soul. But yeah, it's like people want to get a escape from the world around them. And now, does that mean?
Aren't you kind of saying though? I mean, it seems like what we were talking about is like movies without conflict. Basically, it's like people want the resonance of a meaningful story arc without an arc. Like that's the whole problem. Like basically, we're talking about stories that aren't stories that just hit tropes.
They hit the feels. That's what it is.
You build the Lego bricks together. Feels.
That's what Christmas is all about, Ben. It's about listening. It's about listening to different people sing the same 20 songs over and over again on the radio for a month straight. Like, I love that. I love that. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not talking down on it. But there's something so. I'm gonna get too deep here, but there's something so at the end of like a long year, you've had all this stuff going on. There's something really comforting about like, I can go see my family and friends for this like one day or week or hour long you do Christmas, and just like watch the same movies and listen to the same music, eat the same food. This sounds terrible.
I get it though. I mean, that is the sales pitch of the holiday season now, but it's like we're sort of like refining the same fuel to the point of being like jet fuel. You know what I mean? Like we're stripping out any sort of anomalies in the system, any sort of story that has some sort of complex thing. And then you just get down to like extreme, like basically there is a factory making Christmas movies and that factory is called Lifetime and Hallmark. Do you know what I mean? And so it's stripped of any sort of like artisanal craftsmanness. This is the Portland in me speaking. Like, where are the
where's the craft beers at?
I think I noticed this year, and if you want to see like this, because this has already happened to Christmas, but if you want to see it in process, I think this is happening with Halloween. Like the past, I mean, it's all the, going back to like ABC Family doing Halloween movies for a month, and this is the same thing I was talking about, how I think the Christmas genre and like the Halloween genre, not necessarily like horror, but like you know, people, if you scroll through the TV channels October 1st, four or five different channels are just showing horror movies, or you know, for the whole month, and it doesn't matter if they're good or not, people want horror movies on for the month of Halloween because that's just what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to
Something that kind of evokes that, those things, like Harry Potter will be played a lot during like October.
Yeah, but also Christmas.
And Christmas as well. I know. It's weird. Or even like Nightmare Before Christmas. Like Nightmare Before Christmas, I think it's a Christmas movie.
And go back and
forth.
But
because Halloween's involved, it's a Halloween movie as well now.
Yeah, and then you got the horror Christmas crossover genre, which is on the rise these days too.
You delve into that, Ben, you wouldn't like these. I'm just going to tell you right now. You would not like these horror comedies that people are making.
But they're interesting.
Give me some examples of these. Like,
Krampus was a good one. Two years back, it was based on like the German folklore. Instead of, well, they have Santa Claus, but then they also have this giant goblin called Krampus that'll come and punish you. Instead of getting coal in Germany, you get eaten by a goat demon. So you better be good. And so Krampus was really interesting because it was like there was some just kind of slapstick Christmas kind of family humor in there, but it was also pretty twisted. A lot of people die, and in the end, like the main character learns that like he should have appreciated having his family around because now they've all been eaten by a goat demon.
Oh my god.
It's essentially Home Alone, except it's super gory and everyone stays gone.
Oh my god. And then there's Better Watch.
I mean, that pitch is a pretty good pitch.
And then there's Better Watch Out, which is like
just Home Alone, except if it had real world consequences.
Yeah, basically, it's like it's a home invasion turned serious is kind of what it is. But like really shot, like it feels like 1950s, like Douglas Sirk, but mixed with Joe Dante in a way, who did Gremlins and everything, where it just has this like it evokes it. Oh, Christmas home, bright colors, like nostalgic, and then people just start dying, and you're like, okay, like it's a hard left turn about 25 minutes into it, and it's just dark. There's no comedy. It's like it's a black comedy, but it's.
So part of this whole thing, though, right, is that like you said earlier, right, Brandon, that Christmas basically is in the kind of throwing back to noir films, like Christmas represented this idyllic, optimistic, everything can be made right, the family is the unit of everything sort of thing. And so that, I mean, really, like, what are your other settings that are going to get you that? Because Thanksgiving doesn't, we don't really have a lot of like Thanksgiving movies necessarily. No. I mean, there's like there. So this is another thing that you guys correct me here, but like maybe I'm just focused on it because of when we grew up. But like I just remember watching a lot of like smaller budget Disney movies that have basically gone away, right? Like those like $5 million, $10 million like family comedy, Steve Martin, like but lower than that Steve Martin tier. It's like, it's not about the name actors. Yeah. Beethoven. It's like Beethoven Christmas movies. You know what I mean? Where you've got this sort of
Santa
like,
Claus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Santa Claus being a great example. It's like those movies have kind of gone away, right? Or am I just missing the ads for some of these things?
No, I think they've gone the way of the Netflix and Hallmark.
Yeah.
People have figured out instead of doing one of those movies, and they do... Occasionally they do all right in theaters, like The Grinch just did fine, just came out.
Yeah.
But I think people have realized now, especially in the content wars, as we've talked about, you know, you just want more and more and more hours of content. You can churn out, you know, five of those movies for the price of one that you used to do for theatrical release, and people are still going to watch it. And you can sell ad space and run it on TV for one. You don't even have to pay for a for distribution if you're not putting it out in theaters.
I mean, part of it, though, that basically, like, the cost of getting it into a theater and, like, the marketing overhead is just so much higher than pushing out the same old hot dog?
Well, for example, we had for the past couple of years, I mean, we had The Night Before, there was a big push for, like, R-rated Christmas comedies. They had The Night Before, Office Christmas Party, Why Him?
Yeah.
And none of those did particularly well. Yeah. And you don't see any coming out this year.
Well, last year you had, again, it was going with, like, the IP is that you had Daddy's Home 2 set at Christmas. A Bad Mom's Christmas. Like, it was taking a movie that was done very well before, with the audiences loved before, and just tacked on Christmas to it and made a holiday themed film.
A very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, which I saw in theaters.
That was one. How's that rank in the series? 1, 2, or 3?
Like... I think that those films go in order of release. you have diminishing returns on those movies.
Yeah, every time. You're just, again, it was the same thing. It was like, hey, people like this, let's put it at Christmas. Like, that's how I think it comes to theatrical films nowadays, is that, hey, we like these characters, let's make a sequel and put it at Christmas. That's the best thing for them. But then you have some that are trying to be, like, say, Collateral Beauty, like, 2 years ago, where it's trying to be Christmassy with a bunch of people, but it kind of just falls flat. Because that's one, actually, that's an interesting one, because that's one that's trying to be, like, talking about real world stuff, but kind of just misses the point of it all. Because no one's seen Collateral Beauty here but me, right?
Yeah, I
didn't know what those words connected to mean.
Well, Collateral Beauty was a movie, and the cast is great. It's Will Smith's the lead, but it's Keira Knightley, Edward Norton, Kate Winslet, Michael Pena, Helen Mirren, Naomi Harris, who's in Moonlight.
Like, is this the one where the ads were like the actors talking to the camera about what Christmas meant to them? You remember this? There was like a really weird marketing campaign for a movie like this. Maybe it wasn't this one.
I don't know if it was that.
I thought it was a Will Smith movie, though, where they didn't actually like show a trailer. It was like short clips from the movie and then like
and Christmas. Real.
Oh, yeah. I think that was this one. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because it was a movie that like did not do well.
Yeah, this one got trashed when it came out.
Yeah.
But it was one. But here's the thing. It was when critics hated. But some audiences actually, like, once it got out of theaters, like, actually kind of liked it. But like I didn't like it because it's very.
You know what critics hated and audiences loved once it got out of theaters? Love Actually. Now it's probably one of the most iconic Christmas films released in the past like 20 years.
Isn't that part of this whole market though? Is like really like when are people going to watch these? It's not that you're going to go to the theater every year to go see Love Actually. It's that you're going to put on sweatpants and drink a glass of wine with your family while they run around and like people fight or whatever. Like, people are doing. It's like these movies are on.
Are they happy?
Yeah, are they happy? But these movies are basically things you put on a big TV and people like kind of come and go and watch it and then talk.
Yes.
And
it's 24 hours of A Christmas Story on TBS.
Like, right.
Yeah. No one sits down and watches it for 24 hours straight. You just have it on while you do everything else on Christmas Day.
You're unwrapping the presents. You're making breakfast.
Kind of in line. Like, I went to a Friendsgiving last night, and they had on the 4K fireplace TV thing, right? Where it's like the TV's playing a fire.
And you can just sit and watch it for hours.
It's mind-blowing that like someone figured out that that's real, but it's like, you don't need a fireplace anymore. You have a TV. It's probably mounted over your fireplace, and you just turn on Netflix,
love,
and then there you go.
I think these are kind of equivalent. I love how fireplace used to be used as like to keep you warm and like to survive, and now it's just like decorative. Mm-hmm. Like,
right. It's what we'll be using on our like biohabitable spaceships, you know what I mean?
What a great metaphor for the old Christmas movies that used to be a real fireplace as opposed to modern Christmas movies that are just a Yule log on a TV.
Wow.
We just walked into this, guys. That was great.
We can just stop the show right there after that one. God.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to sit here and like I said, and some of them, although not critically loved, have become classic like Love Actually, and some of them are critically loved and classic like Elf. I mean, Elf dropped and everybody was like, "This is it." Jon Favreau made a classic Christmas movie.
Yeah, and the reason with Elf, because I want to go back to that too, is that that actually follows that kind of story of like the true meaning of Christmas. But it's not Will Ferrell's character, it's James Caan. Mm-hmm. He's the one who has to go through the change of, oh, it's not just about business and work and making money, it's about family. And
you cannot pull that movie out of Christmas.
Exactly.
Like, you can't pull Christmas out of the movie, which a lot of these modern ones you can.
But let me pitch this to you, though. Like, that same story arc is basically Hook with Robin Williams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're exactly the same, but like Hook could have been made at Christmas, right?
I think Hook is made at Christmas.
Is it? It I is, right? Because they're
at the beginning.
God. It's all just blowing my mind. It is, right? They go to sleep.
They go to England.
Yeah.
And I think there's Christmas lights.
I think there's like a Christmas dinner in Neverland or whatever with the Lost Boys.
There is a dinner. I don't know if it's Christmas
themed,
but I think
you're
doing it, Peter. But like,
all right.
But wow. Like, so yeah, you're like, well, I have to rewatch Hook now.
You know, it's an interesting
like
one in the opposite way that like everybody thinks it's Christmas and it isn't. And I think Brandon, I think it has to go with like everything you've talked about is Sound of Music.
Yeah, I never considered Sign of Music a Christmas
but
movie.
It's
I never
World
had.
War II. It's about someone learning the value of... It's about a grumpy man learning the value of family thanks to song. I mean, wonderful... the song, what is that? Favorite Things? They play that on Christmas stations.
They do.
And the channels show it at Christmas every year. Like, it's a... And
that's interesting. It's like basically right in the genre. They just don't have wrapping paper over it to put it at Christmas.
So let me tell you what I think the other rule is with a Christmas movie is that I think your climax, is it take place at Christmas at the end or is it just like
what
in Sound of Music?
There's no Christmas in it.
Okay, that's okay.
What, it takes place in like she's up in the hills and there's like it's green. It takes place in like springtime.
That's true. Okay, so the other rule that I have with Christmas genre is that it has to take place, the climax of the film. Or majority of the film has to take place at Christmas. Like, so some movies, like, they're not at Christmas, but then at the very end and the climax, it's taking place at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, was another one. Like, for example, When Harry Met Sally or Sleepless in Seattle, those movies have Christmas scenes in them, but they're not really... it's not the climax of the movie. Mm-hmm. It's not majority of the film. It's just a sequence... That's Christmas.
Right.
You think a big reason for those climaxes, though, is that, like, Christmas scenes usually have Christmas lights. They usually shoot them at night. There's snow. They're beautiful. Like, if Thanksgiving had lights, we would probably have more Thanksgiving movies, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, we have horror films. We have a lot of, like, Halloween films as much as Christmas. Because that has lights now. That has, I mean, jack-o'-lanterns or pumpkins, like, all these different things. But besides maybe like actual Halloween and Hocus Pocus, and there's a trick or treat, there's a few more here and there, but not as much as, say, Christmas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just think Christmas has such a set aesthetic, and like we're talking about with the music, there's so much built in that's just like, boom, this is Christmas, here you go.
With feelings, I actually heard, I was listening to a podcast a while back, and Shane Black was talking, and they asked him why he set a lot of his movies at Christmas, and he goes, Christmas is the time where it feels like people are wanting to change. Like they're more open to change in their lives because it's getting towards the end of the year and a new year's about to start and you're around family or you're not around family and miss family. And you're wanting something in your life.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's kind of central to that holiday. I mean, we just broke down the whole Christmas genre. It feels like guys, like,
what about, Yeah, what about New Year's Eve movies? You know what I mean, where people basically don't change.
That's all you need. New Year's Eve.
People want to change and then they don't.
We can do a whole nother podcast episode about the Gary Marshall holiday movies. Right,
Gary Marshall was a nice man, but yeah, Valentine's Day,
Mother's Day, New Year's Eve.
I mean, people liked working with him, and they made money. Well, I don't know if Mother's Day did.
Labor Day wasn't Gary Marshall.
Well, it's again, but that's kind of an easy thing. It's like, hey, get a lot of big stars. They only shoot for like 3 days or whatever.
It was all post Love Actually for like a decade after that movie came out. It was like, okay, let's recreate Love Actually, which you can't. Yeah. It's lightning in a bottle.
And that's the thing. Well, that's the industry, I think, in a whole, is that they're always like 10 years late to the game with stuff, or almost a decade. It's like, hey, it's like Blair Witch Project was big with going with horror films. Blair Witch Project was big. And then 10 years later is when Paranormal Activity happens. And there wasn't really anything similar in between there and how they did it. And then after Paranormal Activity, everyone started doing found footage stuff. But yeah, it takes
found
a bit.
Found footage Christmas movie.
Has that not been done already?
I don't know. Let's do it.
Guys, we're stumbling into some genius.
Not a horror movie, though. Just a found footage, wholesome Christmas movie.
Could you basically take the Don Draper scene from Mad Men where he's got the Kodak wheel, mm-hmm. the Lifetime Memories thing, and that would be the premise of your movie? Like, he basically is found footage of his family, and you're just basically...
Watching that sequence of that sequence in... Christmas Vacation. He's stuck in the attic, and he's just watching the old home movies.
Well, that's another thing too. Is that like if I look at my home movies of like my family growing up, like my mom, is that a lot of them circle around Christmas? I think memories and Christmas kind of go hand in hand in some way. It's like it's easy to.
Well, yeah, because the rest of the year sucks. We have to work and like, we have to do stuff.
Well, it's like it's
diets
like,
and things, and then Christmas comes around. You eat whatever
Christmas
you want
like,
to. You get off work. It's the best.
Well,
and
it was
you can
like,
watch
I
terrible
mean,
movies and not feel bad about it.
Well, it's like I mean, because I know like when I listen to Christmas music, like say out here in LA, it's like it reminds me of home a lot. Like and it reminds me of just like driving around Tuscaloosa and Alabama, and just like going to certain places or hearing certain songs. It just kind of. It really knows how to attach to memories in some way. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that idea of home, and especially with if you've moved away, Christmas is a very kind of Christmas songs or Christmas movies are an easy way to remind you of that, which is, I think, why, say, Hallmark and these movies have become so big is because it reminds you of home and place and kind of these almost old ideals in a way of what it should be like. And you're not yelling at each other on Christmas Day or whatever. It's more like, oh, we're happy and making food and falling in love and all that stuff. All
right. So should we pitch Ben some bad Christmas movies?
Cue new segment music.
So Ben, because Ben.
Dang it, I don't have the jingle bells pulled up anymore.
Oh, no. So the idea of this is that you guys are going to pitch. Oh, yeah. Christmas is coming.
For you.
You guys are going to pitch. Movies to me, and I'm gonna be the
judge. I mean,
arbiter.
You're just gonna tell us if they interest you, if it's something you'd watch afterwards.
I mean,
see, that's the key to this, though, is that are you trying to pitch something that I'm gonna like, or are you gonna try and pitch the best movie, and then you guys are making the case from your own point of view? Are you trying? Is this really like a sales job purely to one, not our audience? Not anybody else. It's just to me.
It's just to you is kind of how I feel. Like.
Yeah,
because
I mean, Brandon already told me I was going to do Better Watch Out as my Christmas movie. And Brandon was like, Ben's not going to go for that one.
I love this. It's like you guys aren't actually pitching your favorite movies. You're just pitching movies you think I'm going to like. This whole podcast is just becoming,
But that also goes with our topics that we've discussed so far.
No,
like,
I mean, sure. I think I'm pitching my personal opinion. I'm trying to wrap up my opinion in a way that will appeal to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm basically standing as the prototypical audience member.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they can
since
tell
since
us
nobody's
to do a horrible...
tweeting back at us when we ask them to. Yeah. You get to be our live feedback.
They can tell us if like, oh, you pitched this terribly wrong. Like if you pitched it this way, Ben would have loved it. And
I mean,
like,
basically,
we're trying...
I'm just interconnected with our audience, like Sense8. You know what I mean? Just all those Sense8s out there. We're all just one unified thing.
I mean, what'd be great is
I'm
if we could have
pitch
like an inter-
Sense8 for every. Did they do a Christmas episode?
I don't
Didn't
think they?
They
did it. I well, they've done a lot they, of man that show they, I think it's really good that that show ended because it they were they blew up the train, the bridge, they just completely like they fell off it. Yeah,
well, I mean, what you need is like an interstellar themed Christmas movie, like you're in space.
Oh,
like
are there
like,
any like good space
like I'll Be Home
Christmas
for Christmas
movies?
With Jonathan Taylor Thomas, except he's trying to get back
it's
from
in space.
Outer space
he's in space
instead of across the country.
Actually, we've stumbled on yet another script pitch here is Christmas space.
Christmas
like,
in space.
The year is 2093, and you don't have any family or home, but you're watching It's a Wonderful Life in space. This is perfect. This well, is well, Matthew McConaughey crying, but he's not talking to his daughter. He's watching It's a Wonderful
Life. He's watching It's a Wonderful Life of how things used to be on the great old Earth.
Yeah, it goes into like, a... I mean, that's perfect. You go into a wormhole, and you just see your whole life flash before your eyes.
And it's all Christmas. It's all Christmas. Like, each year is a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
As long as it ends in a Tesseract, then you're going to be great.
Like, we got to write an interstellar-themed Christmas movie is what it sounds like. Like,
I'm in.
I mean, these are billion-dollar ideas. Not million, billion easily. Dollars. Like,
or we could just pitch it to Lifetime.
That's
well, no,
the
I like, what would be great is if it was a young Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Let's do Jacob Tremblay, and like he's not as old or
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was like 25 when he did that movie.
That's true. Like let's like pick someone who's a little bit who could still pass like teenager or college, and like they did space camp and they actually get set up into space and it's Christmas and they're missing their home. It's like Home Alone as well, but in space. Like,
but Ender's Game.
All right, so pitch me with what you think I'll love.
Thomas, you want to go first? You want me
sure,
to
go I'll first? Go first. Here you go, Ben.
Okay.
Here's a Christmas comedy that I saw in theaters when it came out. My family used to go because the first Christmas movie used to drop on Thanksgiving and you go see mm-hmm. it. You go see it the you know my family used to go see Christmas movies like the night before Thanksgiving, but yeah, four Christmases. You got a stellar cast.
Very nice.
You got nice. Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn as a married couple. They don't do Christmas. They come from broken homes. They don't like Christmas. Vince Vaughn's parents, Robert Duvall and Sissy Spacek. Reese Witherspoon's parents,
all right.
Mary Steenburgen and John Voight. So they don't do Christmas because they'd have to go to four different households to see all the parents. So they just go on vacation every year. Well, this year their flight gets pushed off until the day after Christmas, so they can't go on their Christmas vacation. So they have to go spend four Christmases with their four different parents. Hilarity ensues. Got a supporting cast, including Jon Favreau as Vince Vaughn's redneck brother, who is just perfect. He's super into MMA. You've got a MMA scene where nice. Jon Favreau just beats up Vince Vaughn. It's great. You've got a wonderful sequence where Mary Steenburgen, it's kind of we're given the idea that she's kind of a man eater. She's had some experiences since her divorce, but now she's dating a pastor at a megachurch played by Dwight Yoakam. And there's a sequence where they go to the megachurch and Vince Vaughn and Reese
Witherspoon. Right, I think you got me right there. I'm in.
That is.
I guess I should wait
awesome.
And reveal my pick, but yeah, that's, you got me hooked.
It's not the best, and if you're one of those persons that hates Vince Vaughn just talking a lot, you're not gonna like this movie. But that's what he does best, and he's doing it here. But I mean it's definitely Christmas. Like so the whole point is. They are all about like not being attached. They're very like no strings attached couple. Like they're together, but they don't want to get engaged or anything because they're just
right.
like, yeah, we don't believe in like any kind of attachments. And being together with their families makes them learn throughout Christmas. They learn to both forgive their parents and like to be more vulnerable about.
And so
like,
it's really a
each
Christmas
other
movie
how,
that
how
ends in a wedding.
Each other.
No spoilers.
Well, they never say if they never say if they get married. It ends in a baby. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. But yeah, I mean, all right, here, I've got some numbers. 24% okay. on Rotten Tomatoes, 24% critic score.
But I think, as we said, though, like, most of these critics
are already received by critics,
even the classics, like, all of the classics we can point to, like, It's a Wonderful Life was not well-reviewed, right?
Even
at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Although this one mm-hmm. has a 47% audience score, so it's not beloved, but 120 million at the box office. Yeah. This was also, so it was written by, like, the same team that did, like, all the Hangover movies, which is interesting. They've also done, like, a bunch of Christmas movies. And it was directed by Seth Gordon. It was his first movie he directed after he did King of Kong, the documentary. So this was really,
which,
like,
his... Which is a great documentary, by the way.
Really, like, his first, like, narrative feature.
And he went on to do Horrible Bosses, all right? I'm in. The first one?
Yeah.
Was it the Gordon?
Well, okay, now the battle continues.
Pitch. Okay.
So that's streaming all on right. HBO Go if anyone's interested.
Well, you know, if we're doing that, my movie didn't get picked because Netflix decided to take it off like they usually do.
As we the lesson we've learned from all this Lifetime stuff, Brandon, is that it's all about what's available.
Okay. So we got a Christmas classic here with the great Ryan Reynolds before he became like Deadpool Ryan Reynolds. Like, this is peak comedy Ryan Reynolds in comedy.
This is still like, oh, that guy from Two Guys a Girl in a Pizza Place, Ryan Reynolds.
Or like, oh, it's Van Wilder in a Christmas movie. That's like what it is. So Ryan Reynolds is, so he went to high school in New Jersey. He was overweight kid, had this really attractive friend played by Amy Smart, who he loved, but he also was great friends with her. He gets bullied by everyone in school. He's upset. He just leaves, bolts, goes to LA, becomes a big music producer, loses a lot of weight, and it's just sexy Ryan Reynolds. And he's funny, but he doesn't care about any commitments, doesn't want to be with anyone. He's like, just get it. Like, tells everyone, don't be in the friend zone. Like, it's all just about, like,
it's basically, like, becomes like a pickup artist.
He becomes a pickup artist. He's like giving people advice, like, hey, don't, or if she's like not answering your phone call, oh, you've already been like pushed that limit, you're a friend now, don't do a day date, don't do lunch, only do dinner, play it all aloof, and like that's what's gonna make you attractive. That's what he's become. Anna Faris, who's this like ultra pop star that his boss is trying to get them to sign, is like attracted to Ryan Reynolds because they had like a thing at one point. He thinks she's crazy, and they're gonna go to Paris. I think it's Paris they're going to. Mm. They're going to Paris, and on the flight there, the flight breaks down, and they land New Jersey, and he's home, and he hasn't been home in 10 years since he got bullied and ran away when he was a big fat kid. And so now he's there, and it's on Christmas. They meet his mom, played by Julie Haggerty, who's phenomenal in the movie. His brother, Christopher Marquette. Is it Marquette?
Marquette,
who's a phenomenal comedy actor. And Anna Faris, who's this Hollywood pop star who just winds up in New Jersey. Ryan Reynolds sees his old friend, Amy Smart, who he hasn't talked to since those 10 years. And he's just like, I'm going to be L.A. I'm going to be the guy that I like. I show her how like cool I am now. And he's not, or him, that doesn't work. So he tries to go back to when he was like a nerdy kid. He doesn't know what to do. He just wants to get with her. And he's just met with so many conflicts along the way while Christmas is happening. It's a Christmas Carol, in my opinion. Like, he makes growth at the end. He makes a change in his life, realizes how terrible he's been. And it's all because he went home for the holidays. Like, yeah. It's funny. You got Chris Klein, who is playing this, like, he's EMT who wants to be a musician. Richard Roper said Just Friends is just stupid. Like, people did not like this movie from critics. They get like I think it's like a 42 on Rotten Tomatoes, but it is a 71 on audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, so we already got that going. Audiences like that movie. Saw us in theaters. It was me and two other people who I did not know who were in the back row, but we laughed like it was a crowd.
I like theater
full of
stories.
Like
that,
it was,
that's a good. That's a good part of your
amazing.
Pitch.
My parents loved it. They went to the theater and no one was there.
Right.
Like, this was not a well-attended movie in Tuscaloosa, Alabama when it came out. I think it's a Christmas classic. As you can tell from the picture I sent you, they made a whole DVD cover of Just Friends that was not like that when it came out. Like, it was not released as a Christmas movie, it became a Christmas movie after it was released.
Is Michael Caine in it, and does he cry? Because that's kind of one of my...
No, you're thinking of Muppet's Christmas Carol.
I'm also thinking of every Christopher Nolan movie. But yeah.
Why hasn't Christopher Nolan made a Christmas movie yet?
Exactly. He could be the one to make the space one.
Oh, God. So Just Friends Didn't Win Him is what it sounds like, because that was just like, let's go back to the space Christmas movie.
Well, cue my decision reveal audio. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I got to go with Thomas on this.
Wow.
You're wrong. Okay, you had no questions for me whatsoever. That's what's happening. Come on.
Here, okay. Right.
Like, what didn't appeal to you? Because Just Friends is a classic, okay?
Wow. I'm glad we're on Skype and we can't fight in person, you know what I mean? Clearly you'd be grabbing my collar and dragging me out of the building.
I think the mega church
thing is big. I mean, it's obviously really having multiple
settings.
Okay,
so in Just Friends, he goes to a church.
Night Before with those clowns a couple years ago, they go to church, and that's when they have the drug hit, and that is
okay.
Hilarious.
Hold on, time out. Let me finish. So Ryan Reynolds goes to church. So Ryan Reynolds goes to church and beats up Chris Klein in front of the entire congregation.
They're not even having a service when he goes to church. They're having like a kids sing along thing.
It's Christmas Day, I think, right?
I've been working on the railroad. That's not a church service.
Well, that's because Chris Klein, that was his choice.
Don't step to me on this movie, Brandon. I know it inside and out.
He's a terrible human being in that movie.
Ryan Reynolds doesn't do it for me. Vince Vaughn doesn't necessarily do it for me either. But, I mean, in a choice between the two, I'd go Vince Vaughn for sure.
Well, I mean, this place is rigged.
What else is in your cast though? Because he's got John Voight, he's got Reese Witherspoon, he's got Robert Duvall, like Sissy Spacek, like he's got a hit list. What do you have? You got Ryan Reynolds.
Actors make bad decisions, Ben. That happens.
Stephen Root.
Stephen Root's my boy.
Wait, who are his love interests in the Amy Smart? You said
Amy Smart.
Okay.
And Anna Faris.
Amy Smart.
And
Anna Faris. Amy Smart, who was his cheerleader, cheerleader in high school, who's like now staying in her hometown as a bartender. She didn't make it.
Also, I mean, I'll give you this credit. This is what, 2005. I mean, yeah. This is peak. Like Amy Smart is in every movie ever made at this point. Like 2000 through maybe 2008, Amy Smart was everywhere.
This is a reunion story mixed with the Christmas story, mixed with the romance, like mixed with like Hollywood, like music industry stuff. I mean, this has everything.
Look, I totally get from your pitch why you love that movie. Like it is clearly like from the tips of your toes to the top of your head. You're like, you're in it. But like,
listeners, please send Ben hate tweets from this decision.
Here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. You're going to not like this. I have not seen very many movies with Amy Smart. So she does not, like, I saw Starsky and Hutch in theaters 2004.
Well, that doesn't help me. That doesn't help me at all.
Crank? Yeah. Crank 2 High Voltage?
No. Yeah.
Rat Race?
I didn't see the remake of Rat Race. Road Trip.
But Reese Witherspoon, though.
She's in some awful horror movies, it looks like. Oh, she's in the Battle of Shaker Heights with Shay.
With Shia LaBeouf.
Shia. Shia.
And she's good in that movie, too. Like.
Okay. I mean, I stand by my decision. You can appeal to a higher court, but like.
See, this is why I'm so excited about the Pitch Bin segment, because it can go in directions you were just not expecting.
I gotta go work out to release my rage. Like, God.
I love that you guys think that I'm unpredictable. Like, I think that's the greatest part of this.
Jesus.
All right. Well, this has been good. I'm glad we brought the show back.
Okay, so Ben goes to the Four Christmases. Mm-hmm. Wrong.
So it's streaming now on HBO Go. Check it out with your families. Make it your big Christmas Eve. Everyone gets together and sits down. Like,
see,
or you can see Brandon's film if you go to the video store in LA, which is one of the few places in the world that has it.
Okay, so I blame Netflix for this. Okay. Because they take Just Friends off every year right before Christmas. It makes no sense.
Well, that's probably not up to them, right? Like, that's someone else is getting it for that window.
They know somebody's going to pay.
No,
to get
no
it on
one
Amazon.
No one else has it.
Yeah, but, I mean,
no,
the, some no one else. TV network probably gets it, right? TNT or something.
TBS. I think I've seen it on TBS before.
That would make sense.
I mean,
very funny.
I mean, they changed this. This movie like wasn't a Christmas movie, and it became a Christmas movie post it was released. That's the interesting thing to me, by the way.
Okay, but like, what does that mean, though? You're saying that like this church
market,
scene you're talking about,
they didn't market it as a Christmas movie at first, right?
They didn't market it as a Christmas movie, no.
Okay.
Like, and it became a Christmas movie after it because it has all the Christmas tropes, man. Like,
am I going to see Christmas trees and Christmas lights?
Huh?
Am I going to see Christmas trees and Christmas lights if I see this thing?
You're going to see Christmas trees. You're going to see a huge house like
so
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Like, there's going to be a fire with a house that burns all the Christmas lights down. Like,
Most Wonderful Time of the Year is going to play.
I mean, Anna Faris is going to like beat up some guy at a metal shop that she's doing like
that's
all
not open Christmas.
Mic for.
That's not Christmas themed. Now you're just naming scenes from the movie. whereas my movie has not just one Christmas. My movie has four Christmases in one movie.
I'm sorry that this upsets you so much. Maybe we shouldn't play the game if you're not.
No,
I love
no.
this game. I can't wait to play more of this game.
I mean, we'll just keep telling the listeners you're wrong. That's what it sounds like to me, Ben.
That's
like,
very right.
Your Twitter followers are about to go down, Ben.
Oh, like, God. What a threat. What a threat.
I mean, guys, listeners, please send us your thoughts on this. Like, we'll read them on the show.
What's your favorite bad Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, there
what's
you go.
Well, I mean, Just Friends isn't a bad... Anyway, okay, I'll stop.
Where can people follow us to give this feedback? We got Twitter, Facebook.
So we got Twitter, at Cinenation Show. We got Facebook. It's just Cinenation is what's under. You can all... Yeah, those are the two big places you can get in touch with us. I think we also have an email at cinenationpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us, or if you know us, text us personally, and we'll read responses on the show.
That's true.
We want to hear your feedback from us. Also, make sure you write us a review on iTunes, give us a star rating, or give us a star rating if you like us. This took a turn at the end, guys. I'm not going to lie.
You'll recover. You've got next episode to prep. You got a year.
Oh, no. We're doing something else before then. Like... Okay. We got to figure out the topic. We're doing something else.
All right.
Any last words, gentlemen?
Glad to be back. It's fun.
We covered a good bit of Christmas stuff. Like, I hope everyone has a great holiday. Enjoy your food, your Christmas lights, your presents.
Watch Die Hard.
What else? Actually, name some Christmas movies. You said Die Hard. Name some ones that like you think people should check out.
Jingle All the Way.
Nice, nice.
Well, if I knew that, okay.
That's a classic.
just because you lost doesn't mean you have to throw shade on anything. I could have picked anything, and you'd be like, no, overrated.
So Jingle All the Way, you're saying Jingle All the Way, Thomas?
Oh, man. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life. I try to watch every year. But I feel like, you know what, that's Scrooged. Bill Murray always a good call. I think the 80s was a very solid year for like subversive Christmas movies. You got Scrooged, you got Die Hard, you got
Gremlins. You could argue Gremlins as well. Lethal Weapon,
Christmas Vacation.
I don't know what to say now. We're going to go with It's a Wonderful Life. That's usually I'm going to agree with you on that one to watch. If you can get a chance to see all these older Christmas movies from the 40s and 30s, like...
Let's tweet some of these out or post them on the Facebook channel so people can...
I think you can actually see... I'll be seeing you on YouTube. Like, I think someone might have posted a like full version of it for free.
And I think... I know last year I watched Christmas in Connecticut on... Prime. I'm not sure if it's still on there, but no, it's not Prime anymore, but that's a good one.
I know it would have won me the argument. Hold on, I just want to backtrack one quick second. Ben, there's a scene with The Notebook in it, so they go to see The Notebook.
Oh wow, Brandon, you left a lot on the sideline. God, you had a star running back in your stable, and you threw the ball every down.
Too late.
Why didn't you run the ball? You had it. You had it on the one, Brandon.
That was in my planned argument, and I somehow forgot it.
It's almost worth having. We should have some friends on to recap my experience of the Notebook. I think it would be too much for me to just talk about it, but I had such a good time watching that with you guys.
A drinking game with a Notebook can end poorly. It
was a great.
Anytime you see like birds, that was one thing. Like birds flying over a lake was a drinking. Was a.
I just, as we were watching it, I just kept pitching alternate horror movie versions of what was going on, because it's basically like, there's all sorts.
It's
of
young Ben's
things.
Worst nightmare, is what it was.
Yeah,
that's
there's
what
some awful
like.
Things happening. But anyway, people, we're gonna post the Christmas movies on
some movies to check
online
out.
For people to follow. They should follow us. If you aren't, hit us back with your feedback on why I'm right or wrong, could be, and then we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, we can send us ideas of some stuff he wants to talk about. So yeah, guys, thank you for doing this again, and hopefully we can make this more of a thing again. Merry Christmas, guys.
Happy New Year, Brandon. I'll see you in 2019.